This morning we are going to look briefly at the doctrine of adoption. The word child in the Greek is technon. The word adoption is made up from two Greek words, huos, which means an adult son, and theos is a Greek word for placing. Now, it's very, very important that we learn some of the Greek words and some of the Greek meanings. And when we come to using some grammar like the dative of advantage, what does the dative of advantage mean? It means that it is in the dative case and it is to your advantage. And I'll probably put some grammar on the board in a little while so that you may learn some biblical truth. When I write someone a letter, I choose my words very carefully because I want them to convey exactly what I say. How the reader or the recipient of that letter interprets those words is entirely up to them. But you and I have no right to interpret the Word of God how we feel it should be interpreted. We have to accept the Word of God as it was written under the guidance of the Holy Spirit and as it was presented for the benefit of all mankind. This word, huios, is a very, very interesting word because it means an adult son or a mature son, and we're going to look at that. This word, adoption, is only used by the Apostle Paul. Let me give you a few examples. Romans 8:15, we see that believers are said to have received the Spirit of adoption, that is, the Holy Spirit, who, given as the first fruits of all, that is, to be ours, He then produces in us the realization of sonship and the attitude belonging to sons. In Galatians 4:5, believers are said to receive the adoption of sons, that is, sonship bestowed in distinction from a relationship consequent merely upon birth. In this passage of Scripture in Galatians, of course, there are two contrasts that are presented. Firstly, between the sonship of the believer and the unoriginated sonship of Christ. Secondly, between the freedom enjoyed by the believer and bondage, whether of Gentile natural condition or of Israel under the law. Now, in Ephesians 1:5, believers are said to have been foreordained unto adoption as sons through Jesus Christ. Before I get out of the first five verses of Galatians 1, I will be doing the doctrine of election. And I want to tell you now, on the authority of the Word of God, this foreordained election theory that has been propagated around this church since I've been here is heresy. It will cease. For the ones propagating it do not know either Greek or Hebrew, nor do they understand the biblical languages from which we get our Bible. And therefore, ignorance pooled is disaster in a local assembly. We receive what God has for us at the moment we believe in Jesus Christ. And when I do the doctrine of election, that will come out very clear from the Word of God. The Authorized Translation in Ephesians 1:5 is incorrectly translated. The scripture that you have in English has the translation adoption of children. Now that is a mistranslation and a misleading, because Paul uses the word huios, adult son, and not technon. Adoption, of course, is a term involving the dignity of the relationship of believers as sons. It is not a putting into the family by spiritual birth, but a putting into the position of sons. In Romans 8:23, the adoption of the believer is set forth as still future. That is, it there includes the redemption of the body, when the living will be changed and those who have fallen asleep will be raised. In Romans 9:4, adoption is spoken of as belonging to Israel in accordance with the statement of Exodus 4:12, which is, Israel my son, and again Hosea 11:1. Now let me say to you today that Israel was not brought into a special relationship with God, but a collective relationship not enjoyed by other nations, as Deuteronomy 14:1 and Jeremiah 31:9 reveal. Now, the most important thing for us to remember is that the biblical usage of the word adoption is theological, having at all times reference to our adoption in Christ as sons of God. Now, adoption refers to that work of God's grace by which he receives us as his very own through Christ and in union with Christ. And we need at this point to remind ourselves that the practice of legal adoption was widespread in the ancient world. In the Bible, there are many examples of this legal adoption, not the adoption spiritually, but the adoption into families. Now, in the first century, of course, under Roman law, an adult wanting an heir could adopt a male, that is, an adolescent, or one of mature years. Now, this custom in principle was used by Paul to the Christians' new relationship to God. And Paul makes particular use of it in Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 17, and Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7, and Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. Now, when each one of us stop and think of what we were in our sins, the thought of adoption speaks most powerfully of the magnitude of God's mercy to us. That we should be pardoned of all our sins is wonderful enough in itself, but that we should become God's sons and daughters by adoption into his family circle surely goes beyond human comprehension. And of course, Romans 8:15 and Galatians 4:6 tell us clearly that adoption implies that the Christian life with God as Father is a reality because of the intimate relationship with God the Son. Both Romans 8:15 and Galatians 4:6 use the word Abba in addressing God. The word Abba is an Aramaic word for father, and it means my own dear father or just simple daddy. So in a correct translation of what Paul uses in Romans and in Galatians when he says Abba Father, it literally means my dear father, father, or daddy father. Adoption also teaches us to see our fellow Christians as brothers and sisters in the family of God. Perhaps no other word has the deepest biblical and theological meaning as the word adoption. Adoption speaks about our Christian relationship. We belong together in God's one great family drawn from all nations and generations. Also in Romans 8, verses 14 and verse 29, together with Hebrews 2:10 following, there is the revelation that adoption means life with Christ as our elder brother. Now, when I look at history books, and I like to read Eusebius and a few other historians, I see that our history books tell us that in the Roman world of that day in which Paul wrote to the Galatians, the adopted sons were granted full legal status in the family alongside of any other natural sons. Now, as a matter of fact, the adopted son could even be nominated by the father as legal heir over the claims of the father's natural children. Now, the principle that Paul reveals in all of this doctrine is simply this. We, as adopted sons, are given full status within the family of God, along with the natural son of the Father, namely the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, perhaps one of the most wonderful things about the doctrine of adoption is this. Adoption expresses the certainty of our hope, as Romans 8:14 and Galatians 4:6 reveals. We are heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ, and in his free grace, God the Father gives us the right in his coming glory in Christ. Now, for Paul, adoption as a son of God is a relationship of grace, unlike the sonship of Christ, who was a son by nature. And I will be developing that. Though adoption as a theological formula occurs only in Paul's writings, it is implicit as a relationship of grace in John's teaching about becoming a son, as John chapter 1, verse 12 reveals, and so does 1 John 3, verse 1 following. Also, we have the principle in the prodigal's acceptance into full family rights as revealed in Luke 15:19 following, and indeed in Christ's oft-repeated title of God as Father, as revealed in Matthew 5:16 and Matthew 6:9 and Luke 12:32. Now, one of the main principles in this letter of Paul to the Galatians was to reveal the truth that we are sons, not servants. And I want to give you an example of law and grace. The law said to Moses at the burning bush, put off thy shoes. Why?
Well, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 5 gives us the answer.
Thou art a servant.
But grace said to the prodigal when he returned home, put on thy shoes. Why? Because he was a son, as Luke 15:24 reveals. Now at this point, let us go a little deeper in the doctrine of adoption. Adoption is God's act accepting the regenerate person as his own son. And in it, the Holy Spirit imparts the filial consciousness whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Filial is that conscious awareness into which there is a dynamic relationship between a child and a father, a child and a mother, the father and the child, the mother and the child. And all the way through the book of the Galatians, we will be looking at this theological formula of the filial consciousness. You might learn something by the grace of God by the time we're finished. But listen very carefully. Before we can be adopted, we have to be born. So our sonship in the true sense is a relationship of nature, since we have been born again, and also a relationship constituted by divine appointment, since it is God's gracious act. The Bible is teaching you that the consciousness of our sonship and God's fatherhood is the climax of the Christian consciousness. Our filial consciousness thus becomes the dominant consciousness of all life and the transforming fulfillment of every element of our being. Now at this point, let us do a little revision. What is adoption? The word means the placing of a son. Romans 9:4, Romans 8:15-23, Ephesians 1:5, and Galatians 4:5. Now let me say this again to you. In regeneration, we receive the divine nature of sons of God. In adoption, we receive the position of sons of God. You see, regeneration is a change of nature from the old Adam to the new. Adoption is a change of position or relation. You see, the origin and ground of adoption is revealed in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. You see, adoption originates in the eternal sovereign grace of God, but adoption becomes ours through Jesus Christ. That is, on the ground of what he is and what he does. I can't wait to get to this doctrine of election. And when I look at the scriptures, I see this great truth. And because of what God's only begotten Son is and does, God the Father adopts many to be sons. That is, all who will believe. The believers become the recipients of adoption because they receive the grace of adoption. Galatians 3:25-26, Galatians 4:4-7, and John 1:12 are some of the scriptures. All those who believe in or receive the Lord Jesus Christ receive the adoption of sons. That is, they obtain a place or right as sons in the family of God. Did you hear me? Galatians 3:25-26 again, Galatians 4:6, and 1 John 3:1-2 clearly teach it. From these scriptures we learn that the believer has already received his place as a son in the family of God because of what God has done, but he becomes the recipient the moment he believes. And then, of course, in Romans 8:23, we see the full working out and manifestations of our position as sons. That is, the completion of our placing as sons and our manifestation to the world as sons of God, which lies in the future and will not be realized according to the Word of God until the body as well as the spirit is totally redeemed in the presence of the eternal Christ. Colossians 3:4 says very clearly, when Christ, who is our life, shall be manifested, then shall ye also with him be manifested in glory. And then, of course, the proof of our adoption is clearly taught in the Bible. Galatians 3:23-26, and there are many others, but we're going to primarily stay with Galatians. We are no longer under the law, but have a place as sons in the family of God. And this was the urgency in the heart of Paul as he wrote this letter. You see, the Judaizers had come in, and they'd said, look, you got it all wrong. You're not even adopted, you're not even accepted, because you haven't been circumcised. And you see, they came in with their false doctrines, and were pooling their ignorance. The Bible says, because we are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. And this Spirit of Christ bears witness together with our spirit that we are sons of God, crying, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. My Father. Galatians 4, verses 4 through 6 tells us that we are delivered from the bondage under the law to serve in the liberty of sons. Romans 8, 17. That doesn't mean you can do as you like. Doesn't mean that. There's such a thing as church discipline. Romans 8, 17 tells us that having received a place as sons, we are made heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We are made heirs of all God is and all God has. That just breaks me to make me want to be at every prayer meeting I can get to and every meeting I can get to and be truly Christian. Now let us do a little bit of revision. And perhaps if you write down this simple outline, it will help you to remember some of the main points. Now, I'll leave it on the board for you. The meaning of adoption we've been talking about. Compared with regeneration and justification. Positively defined the placing of a son. The time when adoption takes place. Not subject to time. It has a twofold relationship to time. It begun the moment one believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is completed at the resurrection of the body and the return of Jesus Christ. Then the results of adoption. Blessings received through the new relationship with God the Father. And what are they? The Father's love. The Father's care. The Father's chastisement. The Father's comfort. The Father's inheritance. And then blessings received through new family relationship. Privileges of sharing His name. His likeness. His love. His relationship. His service. And the evidences of sonship. The sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. The sons of God have a childlike confidence in Father. The sons of God have liberty and free access to the Father. The sons of God love one another. What a privilege. Adopted, beloved, through propitiation. Redeemed to redeem sonship. Probably bring that out in the doctrine of election. Now, in fairness to you, and I have to be fair to you, because you're lovely people, next Sunday I'll have to take it up again, because there's a lot more to teach. There's a lot more significant truths. But when we come to Galatians chapter 4, we will be studying in depth the doctrine of adoption and heirship. You see, at the moment, we're only just getting ready for the meat of the issue. Now, beloved, please allow me to say that adoption is not an option for the believer. Of course, adoption calls to mind different things to different people. I'm aware of that. I've been a counselor a long time, as well as a preacher. For example, a person who has been disappointed in his adopted home will probably think negatively about adoption. For example, if there's someone sitting in this congregation today who's had a rotten life as an adopted child in an adopted home, he's not going to listen to what I'm preaching about because the parents have screwed him up. I get a lot of people who don't hear what I preach because they're screwed up from their childhood. Nobody's ever straightened them out. But let me say this. That the child who has been reared in a loving adopted family will delight in the term and its connotations. But it also should be said that parents who have had a long and constant struggle with an adopted child may very well be cautious about recommending adoption to a younger couple. Now, please allow me to ask you, are you excited about your sonship or daughterhood? Are you? If Westcott, a great Greek scholar, is right, and I believe he is, then the name Father is the sum total of Christian revelation, and the term sonship is the most delectable. Do you know what that word means? It means delightful, pleasant. This term sonship is the most delectable fruit of that revelation available to mankind. In simple language, to partake of the sonship God the Father offers us in Jesus Christ our Lord is to enjoy the delights of heaven here on earth. Indeed, it is to walk in the company of men and women whose citizenship is in heaven and whose future is assured as fellow heirs with Christ, the Son of God. John was so excited about his sonship also when he wrote these words in 1 John 3:1. And, beloved, we did that doctrine. I spent weeks on the letters of John. But in 1 John 3:1, he says, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the sons of God. What a privilege. Adopted through propitiation to redeem sonship. Now, should the Lord tarry, I'll be back next Sunday by God's grace. Same place, same time, with the same Bible and the same God.
May we sing a hymn to conclude today because it's family service?
And the hymn is 63. I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Thank you for today. We want to thank you for who you are. And Lord Jesus, we want to thank you for who you are. You are the head of the church, the Lord of the church. And we thank you for the way in which the Holy Spirit has accurately written the Bible. And our Father, we pray that this very day, by your grace and your mercy, we will learn divine truths as they have been written for our edification, for our instruction, and indeed for our well-being. Now may grace and mercy and peace go with us and be with us now and always. Amen.